Roof of the mouth and the tip of the tongue. Red leather, yellow leather. Hey, Sally sells seashells at the seashore. Come on, mic check it, hand it over, ain't no record getting dookie in the booth. So
welcome everybody. This is Sharon Smith, and this is Iambic Poetry Podcast. Yay! And I got you. And that person laughing in the background is the one, the only, powerful singer, songstress, rapper extraordinaire. You got to know she's the bomb if you haven't seen her yet. And yes, she is a mother. What? I like to give y'all Jay Ross Perelli. What's up, family?
That was good. That was nice.
Thank you for coming to the show and stuff. And we're just here. We're just gonna have a talk. That's all. It's just chit chat as always. So I'm glad you're here. And let's get started by saying, hey, where are you from originally?
So I originally from Los Angeles. My parents, my grandma came over from Russia. She was, during the Holocaust times, she came over, she's Jewish. So, she made her way to LA, which then my parents, they united there. I was born in LA, but I grew up in a small little hometown called Auburn. So I'm in Northern California, and, I started here, ventured back to LA for 10 years, New York for 5 years. And now with my son, I've replanted back in Northern Cali, you know, just replenish, figure out what the next step is. So that's kind of my roots, you know, from Jewish to Auburn to small town to big town to city life. To, it's just a mixture.
Well, you've been moving and grooving.
Hell yeah.
But no, so I was reading on some of your stuff in your background and stuff, and I found one thing that interests me was, so you're in a family of four brothers and you, so basically five children, and you your father was an entertainer. Tell me about that.
Research, bro. Where are you looking? What? What research are you on? Where'd you read that shit?
I got many places.
You're kidding. That was really good. Yeah. All of the above. My dad is definitely, people that know my father, they're probably giggling right now because he's got so much energy. he's a natural entertainer. Same with my grandma. She was in musicals. And then my brother and I, we started, he taught me how to rap. I used to spy on him and watch him rap in cyphers with his homies. So he taught me how to rap. So it's always been a family vibe.
So with that in mind, so I found out that you were a trained jazz singer. So how is that different from your transition from a jazz singer to a rapper?
Well, I'm not sure about trained jazz so much. Again, when you study that 10,000 hour rule, when you study something so much, you become a natural student of it. And so I am definitely 100% a student of jazz. And I love jazz. And that's always been the main foundation of anything I do. So to go from a scat into throwing syllables into there, J is for the jugular, Gemini, jugular, jaguar. You know, it was like the transition. It was easy. It was already, the rhythm was there. The pattern was already there. So, man, jazz, Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, Nina Simone, those were the foundation of everything I grew up on. And then come to find out my favorite hip hop artists like Jay-Z, Nas, they're sampling the jazz singers that I love, adore, and grew up with. So I heard this sample before I heard Nas or Jay-Z. So, jazz was always that foundation for me, I guess.
Oh, that actually brings more up now. It's like, so you're already, because I know that was during the 90s and stuff, that jazz hip hop was basically from flourishing and stuff with Nas, Jay-Z, mostly New York cats. And then also some of the West Coast cats started going into it, like with Lyrics Lounge, the group down in Southern California, a lot of groups down Southern California were doing it. And also even Hieroglyphics up here and stuff, we're doing a lot of jazz vibe stuff. Is that what you really can resonate with more since you got into it? That was your start, your inspiration to get you started in it?
Yeah, to be honest, I feel like that's kind of a tricky question because music is just everything I'm doing. Like I'll be in a room full of people and I'll still be sitting at my desk flipping through beats or instrumentals or music, or somebody will say something. My man talks all the time and then I always back it up with some kind of musical. So like, I feel like music, that's just what I breathe, if that makes sense. And it's not just jazz either. Like I love hip hop. I love reggae. I've done a lot of backup singing for reggae artists. I think music with passion, music that has some sort of struggle that kind of makes you feel human, something that brings culture into my being, that moves me, that's the music I love and the foundation that takes me to the next level. So that's what I look for when I'm looking for music to listen to. Anderson .Paak is huge on my radar right now. I love listening to Anderson .Paak. I'm even on JID as far as hip hop. But all these female artists coming out are ridiculous right now. Green Tea Pain, I don't know if you've heard of her yet, but
I have.
I'm going to send you a whole list, actually. I'm going to add Jay Ross Perelli playlist to this. It's going to be all these dope.
I'll put that out. So most definitely. So I started really looking at this thing, and you have several albums out beyond just the stuff you have on Bandcamp. You also have a lot of albums that you're signed. So I just want to have one thing. Do you have a favorite?
No, you know what happens with these dang albums? You play them so much that you don't ever want to hear them again. So when you ask your favorite, really what I've been thinking about being in this quarantine is taking a couple that I enjoy and remixing them so that I can listen to them again, because they're so played out after mixing, mastering, memorizing, performing. And after all that said and done, I would say that greatness, now that I think about it.
And since you have been a signed artist and also an indie artist, can you see how'd you feel about being a signed artist than being an indie artist? What was your difference between the comparison with both of them?
So even when I was signed to Universal, I wasn't the artist they pushed. So I still pushed my own agenda. And I got to release what I wanted to release, but it went through them first. And then they decided what single would be dropped, how it would be dropped, when it would be dropped, which DJs they would give it to, where it would play. So the machine behind it, when I dropped Protostar, we flipped Like Water was the single, and that actually made it onto charts. But the way these industries play is they play you at two. So you're not a main artist, but you're still one of their artists. So you're not getting played when Nicki Minaj is getting played, but you're getting played at 2 a.m., getting played a lot between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. So you're still making these charts and you're still building up your name, right? So I was in between Pharrell and Nicki Minaj on the R&B chart. And what happened was I still wasn't moving records. And it's because you're being played between 2 and 6. So then it takes you into this whole era. Well, if they're not going to put you in the right bracket, you got to put yourself in the right bracket. So it's always been an independent game. I've always had to figure out how to market and brand. And they wanted me to be the one next door. I wanted to be a battle MC at the time. So like our agendas were so far-fetched. Being signed was not really... I was placed up above more than others, but it wasn't the level that it should have or could have been, if that makes sense.
Well, it makes perfect sense. And so in being
that money sense, but it makes
it makes it money sense.
So, money, so, but I had a good time touring the world. I've seen so much of the world.
You were saying as a battle MC and stuff. So I did see that you were doing competitions and stuff, and you also were getting into slam poetry. So what made you get on your battling, your battles and stuff, and your competitions that you're doing? What made you go from doing battles to slam poetry? Was it just because there was a new thing that's out, or you just saw a new inspiration to go that route to doing poetry now?
Let me tell you, like, from a light-skinned perspective, hip-hop is all based on struggle. And I can only talk about my struggle because what hip-hop is thoroughly based off in New York is a completely different struggle, but same entity. I was starving. I was so hungry. And I was just finishing college, so I was in a slam poetry team. And we were touring nationally. We were winning all great, incredible slam poetries. But then I graduated college, starving, like sleeping on homegirls' couches. And I saw this thing in Compton, this poster in Compton, and it was like, MC battle, winner makes $250. And I was like, I love words. I'm a slam poet. I can speak for 3 minutes straight. I can do this. Yo, bro, when I say I walked in there and like, I was the only chick like me in a miniskirt, stilettos in the middle of Compton. But I ended up walking out with $250. Moral of the story is that was my hunger for it brought me there, and then that just lit a fire, and I realized the influence of words and how I could make money off of it.
I do melodic, so I do drum pads and piano practicing every day.
Beethoven practiced like 10 to 12 hours a day, and that's what made him the best. So imagine, I mean, that's all this quarantine did was just give us the opportunity to do what we love, I guess. Well, for you know what, I take that back because I have a very privileged perspective, and I have to make sure I take that into perspective because there's a lot of people that are really working and stressed out and don't know how they're going to pay.
True. Oh, shoot. That, hey, got to flaunt it when you got it. Boom. So I did see that you did take a hiatus, I know, for your son and stuff. So when that time you were away from the game, the hip-hop game or whatever, recording stuff, when you came back, how did you feel when you came back? Did you feel ready, focused, or was it more like, are they even going to see, you know, they're going to see me the same as they used to? Or I know a lot of time when people step out the game, their coming back is always a little bit different. They're not as, it's not as polished as they were if they were continuing on and stuff. But no, tell me how you feel about that hiatus.
That's a real powerful point, and especially coming after giving birth, where the actual physical birth changes your whole perspective. But I was real nervous, you know. In all honesty, I live a very personal life, so I didn't tell a lot of people that I was pregnant. So having a child, I never wanted people to not hire me for a gig because I was pregnant. And that was a huge factor in me not telling people as well. Like I just never wanted to be judged as this pregnant singing, rapping. And finally one day it hit me, and I think I was like eight. I toured in a musical until I was 7.5 months pregnant. And then at 8.5 months pregnant, I rocked a show with Bru Lee and Paul Willis. And we opened for Jay Electronica. And at that point, I was like, oh, here's my coming out. Like, everybody knows I'm pregnant now. And so I didn't feel like I actually left the game. I felt like now parents of hip hop were like, oh, shit, she's like us. So now you have people like, you just, all these incredible artists that have parents putting their arm around you and welcoming you into a different level of the game. So it's still hip hop, but it's like a different, I went from being like, hey, I'm Jerome Pirelli, this hardcore, to like, all right, I am woman, I'm gonna rock this shit, this is what I do. So you know, and I train every day. I love to freestyle every day, so I don't feel like I ever fell out, you know, like I didn't have to get my footing again. It wasn't as hard. Muscle memory.
There you go. So you say you were in college. So what college you go to, or university you go to?
I went to Cal State Long Beach.
Oh, okay. All right. So being that you, what did you major in? What was your major?
I majored in human development and then got my teaching credentials.
Okay. So since you did get your teaching credentials and stuff, and tell us, and you are also a workshop coordinator and on this hip hop curriculum stuff. Tell us about Beat Lyrics Leader.
Beat Lyrics Leaders. So about, I would say 10 years ago, I was on tour and I toured past Warm Springs in Oregon. And when I toured through, they were like, hey, J-Ross, come do a workshop. And I was like, a workshop? the heck is a workshop? All right. They were like, just come talk about what you do and how you do it. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was that moment on that I fell in love with being a student to the student. So I love that. Workshops to me, like being involved in the community, being involved with the youth, interacting, building, encouraging, empowering, anything that has to do with that, that's what I want to be a part of. And that's kind of, I guess to break this down the simplest, Akil the MC taught me hip hop is the movement of knowledge. So in order for one to be hip hop, you must move the knowledge that you know. So it's like almost a mandatory requirement at this point in age. Rap is something different. But if you want to call yourself hip hop, you have to embellish the actual education portion. So to me, it's not a give back. There's no such thing as a give back. There's no white savior. No coming to moments or taking pictures to look good. That's not what it's about. It's about dedicating what you know to service others. And so to me, rapping as in part of this hip hop at this point, and maybe that was my transition and taking my sabbatical and returning, maybe that was my transition, was realizing that without that educational component, we're just a rap element. We're not hip hop. We're just graffiti element. We're not hip hop. You're just a DJ. You're not hip hop. And of course, that's me for who I am. I understand my perspective. I get it. You know, that's my perspective of what it is. So yeah, you can't not build that education component. And that's what Beats Lyrics Leaders is. We get to go to a lot of different Native reservations, a lot of foster homes, juvenile delinquent centers, and we get to teach how to make beats.
Golden dream of mine, for a golden dream of mine, for a golden dream of mine, I won't sit anymore and just wait for all the signs. For a golden dream of mine, for a golden dream of mine, I've been searching through this life for a good time to shine.
How to put together a lyric, and then a lot of times how to record what we're doing. And personal development. And the goal is to build them into leaders. So through beats, music, through lyrics and beats, we get to actually build this component, leader controlling, basically. These are the leaders of this community. So
you did point out one thing that interests me. So it is mostly focused on a lot of youth, but also the Native American side of the youth, too?
Yeah, what had happened was I was getting phone calls from different reservations. And people started calling me to teach workshops. And when I would come through that area, I would stop at these reservations and teach workshops, whether it was at a school, a community center. And it'd be anywhere from a 2-hour workshop to a 3 to 5 day conference. And so then I just kept getting calls. And when you're called to something, if it fits your passion, you roll with it. So that's how Beats Lyrics Leaders started, was with a group of us mentors that were doing this. Periodically, we just formed a group, started actually booking conferences.
And I see that a lot of the members of, or the mentors that have come through, you know, you got Slim Kid Trey, Akil from Jurassic 5, and even Tony Ozier. I mean, you got a lot of guys, even rappers, players, and also even some influencers that are coming through and stuff. I mean, you can't give enough of that. I mean, that is, like you said, it's hip hop. So I was going to say, you can go speak. So what you say? So I see that it basically from that also, you also have been involved with the Auburn Hip Hop Congress. What's your influence with them? Just because they were here in Auburn and you were in Auburn, boom, boom.
Rocky and Natalie are amazing. So Rocky and Natalie are this duo that use their super strengths to empower everybody and turn the world into superheroes. So Rocky and Natalie called me 10 years ago when I lived from Auburn. They said, you're from Auburn. You're one of the first people with your brother to start a hip hop group in Auburn. What do you think about a hip hop Congress, which is a national organization? I hadn't really known Rocky and Natalie, but I was like, sure, let's do it. So we do workshops here in Auburn. So the Auburn Hip Hop Congress became one of our workshop destination spots on tour.
I also saw that you were, and you have an also IMDb, you were an actress for an indie film called Something Inside is Broken in 2018.
What, are you doing your research, homie? What's going on here?
I got you.
Wow, you're so, that's incredible. Something Inside is Broken is really a huge piece of my heart. So being involved with Beats Lyrics Leaders opened me to explore options to new realms, new languages, new possibilities. And two gentlemen, Jack Kohler and Alan Wallace, approached me one day and said, hey, come help us produce a musical. You got the music aspect of it. We're going to write the script. We need to work together. And I was like, dope, let's do it. They developed an incredible script revolved around pre-Gold Rush days of as Sutter was approaching the Nishinan Maidu tribe here locally, our local tribe, they told that story. What was that like? So it was the story from the Nishinan perspective. And in order to truly grasp a perspective, you have to bring that language forward. So we were able to learn Nishinan through this musical. And I was super fortunate. They had me audition, and I think it was their ploy from the beginning. So I'm going to call Alan Wallace out right now. If you're watching this, it was a ploy from the beginning because they had me audition and then threw me in as this role called PFA. And PFA is the androgynous coyote jokester, lives the life between spirit world and human world, and couldn't be seen by humans, but really game showed the whole play, the whole musical. So I got to take on a lead role, and my mentors took me through this role and they taught me language, which was I didn't expect to learn all that through a musical, through acting. And this show, we toured all over the place. We toured big casinos, big reservations, and it ended up becoming a video. So it is out. I'm not sure where it's at, but it's out. It's by On Native Ground, called Something Inside is Broken. The soundtrack is on iTunes, and I know a lot of people look up J. Ross Perrelli, and then they find Something Inside of Broken, and it's like talking about like shoot first, die later. You're like, what the hell? This is not an MC. So I guess that maybe it displays the diversity. I don't know. Maybe somebody should sample that whole shit and let's turn it into a hip hop remix. But it's incredible. It was a dope lesson. We still, to this day, I work with the Nishinan group we have. It's called Maidu Independent Theater. And there's a group of us who learn. What we've done is taken the simple oral tradition and pass it along. So we've learned stories in Nishinan, put it to music, put it to choreographed a dance to it. And now if performing it to teach to other youth the language of Nishinan, there's only 5 native speakers of that language here locally in this dialect. So I feel like it's just been a blessing for myself and my son to be a part of and really grow with that.
So this question here, I always ask questions to all guests and stuff. So in the poetry world and also in the community, you have literary book people who write poetry, what we call them book poets or literary poets. And then you got the people that perform the poetry on stage and on theater and rappers and stuff. We call those the stage poets. So it's always the page versus the stage. So I'm going to ask you, J. Ross, are you comfortable with the page, the stage, or both?
Because the page people really get to get their own perspective of you, because shit flies by and you can say here, but you mean H-E-A-R and someone heard it as H-E-R-E. So the page, that's why I love the videos where they put the lyrics up so you can hear it and see it at the same time. There's something fundamental about actually hearing it and catching that emotion and tone where you don't have to hear the actual word as well. So I would say I'm a fan of both equal, and you have to have both of them in order to be a fully, I mean, you could be one or the other, but to be a fully established, you know, Prince couldn't be one or the other. He had to be both.
There you go. Since we're getting close to the end and stuff and all that, but I was wanting to say, if you want to give some of your social media or website and stuff, this would be the best time. I want to tell the podcasters out there where they can find you.
Google me. No, I'm just kidding. But really, on the app.
Literally.
Google me, J. Ross, R-O-S-S. I got it at Ross Pirelli, P-A-R-R-E-L-L-I. So, J. Ross Pirelli. If you Google that, type it in YouTube, type it in iTunes, ask your mama, ask your grandma.
Most definitely. And then, I'm now, this is an actual new series I'm starting. I've already, Moon Magic and stuff, and she said shout outs to J. Ross, he gives you shout outs. But I am asking this question. So I know every rapper always has this and maybe even has a ready to go. What is your top five rappers?
Top five rappers? Damn! Dylan. Just like.
I get that.
Just wait. Nah, that's a tricky one, but you said five. So I love Ciroc. I love her writings. I think she's ridiculous. She's a knowledge. I love Black Thought. I love his freestyles. He's on another level of life. I love Eminem's rhythm and his patterns. Oh, I can't name two more. I mean, so many are Jay-Z, Nas, Fife, Busta, LL Cool J, KRS-One. De La Soul, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Most definitely. I started noticing this. It seems that you've now gone to somewhat of a perspective of looking at hip hop in somewhat of a not only as cultural but almost like it should be looked more respected as almost, I wouldn't say a religion, but in somewhat those kind of standards where people should take it more spiritual as well as looking at it materially. Is that what perspective looking at it is now?
I mean, again, you definitely have to look at my brown hair and light skin and resonate with my perspective and where I come from. And if you're looking at from that direction, I could possibly be a yoga, green tea sipping hippie, MC battle, love hip hop culture. Totally. But if you caught me in the middle of a Goody Mob show or an E-40 show in the Bay, it may not be the same. So I think with hip hop, you have to be adaptable too. So maybe that's how y'all visualize me, as like some country girl hip hop artist. farm hippie hip hop. And that's cool too. But I definitely would get down for sure. I don't know about religion, but I would say like hip hop saved my life for sure. Last night a DJ saved my life. Dun, dun.
Don't do that. I'm a DJ. You know that.
So it saved my life. I don't know if it's a religion, but hip hop saved my life.
Definitely. I want to say one thing is thank you for coming out to the Iambic podcast. I'll get this out to you. We're going to put all the information into the bottom. J. Ross Pirelli, go check her out. Check out all her albums. Protostar is my stuff. I love that album. So y'all need to go check that out for her. So J. Ross Pirelli, thank you for coming out. And if you have any other advice for new upcomers, let them know right now.
Just be true to yourself. Have fun with it. Can you get me?
There you have it, folks. Be true to yourself and have fun with it. Can't knock that. All right. We'll let y'all go and stuff. Have fun. J. Ross is on. Peace.
For more information, please go to linktr.ee/iambiczine. IAMBICZINE. Thank you.